come out and brave the coming snowstorm now that I hear. We'll see how it ends up through the day, but it never hurts to get a little bit of snow. You kind of expect it this time of year, don't we? But glad you guys could make it. Hope the roads weren't too slick for you coming in. And we're excited to be here and to hear from God's Word. That's going to be kind of our theme this morning as we look at John chapter 1 and the calling of the disciples and the power of God's Word to not only to call disciples, but to make disciples and to make it so that when we go out too, our invitation to people is to come and see, to see Jesus and to see what he has done for us. And so I'm looking forward to sharing that with you a little bit later here as well. We have just a few announcements that I want to share with you here as we get started this morning. You can see kind of a regular week for the most part through this week. There is coffee and cookies after the service, so stick around for that if you are able. We do have our family basketball night then again this evening also at 7:30 over at Bethel. We had a nice turnout last week for that too as we got started with that. Remember that goes through the end of March, and so that'll be a weekly activity with the exception, I think, of Super Bowl Sunday. We won't be meeting that week. And then tomorrow is coffee and conversation at 2:00 here at the church. Just as a reminder, that is open to anybody who would like to come, who's free just to come and hang out and spend some time fellowshipping with one another. We usually have just a very short devotional at that time also, and so want to make sure to welcome anyone who would like to just come and spend some time here at the church drinking coffee. You don't have to drink coffee if you don't want to, but to enjoy that time together here with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Quilting on Tuesday, our regular Wednesday activities. There is a council meeting this week, so keep that in mind, those of you to whom that pertains. And then next week, the big thing happening is our congregational meeting. And so please plan next week to stay after for a while if you are able to, and to take part in what is a sometimes can feel like a mundane activity of the church, but it is very important, and it's part of what makes us who we are as free Lutherans. We believe that the things that happen around here happen through the congregation and not from the pastor or from the council. It's not a top-down type of thing. It's very much from you, and so those are really important times when we get together as a congregation to speak and to act and to vote. And so please plan to stick around for that next week if you are able. To do that as well. There are annual reports printed, and they're out on a table in the hallway, and so please grab that if you can on your way out and read that before the meeting, so that sometimes that helps to jog some things you might want to talk about or anything else like that. There are also, as a reminder, I think I mentioned it last week, your giving statements, year-end giving statements are in your boxes, and so make sure to grab those here as well when you think of it. One other housekeeping item too, the WMS book for 2018 is being worked on, so if you would like to be added or removed from a serving group, please talk to Tammy Eastrom or Pam Tweet, and the serving groups are how we kind of split up different groups who help feed prepare meals and things like that, potlucks throughout the year, funeral luncheons, things like that. And so if you'd like to be a part of that ministry and aren't currently, please talk to Tammy or Pam. If you are on one of those groups but would like to be taken off, talk to them also. And then you'll start hearing things. We were just working on some address stuff, so it's that kind of that time of year when things are getting updated. We were talking about boxes out there. If you don't have a box but would like to have one in that big white cupboard out here, you can talk to Emma about that, our secretary, and she can help you with that. And then it won't be too long before we'll be updating our church directories either. And so so if you have address updates, phone updates, things like that, try to send those in as you think of it too. Those kinds of things happen this time of year. And so anyway, that's that. You can see that Helen Larson is having her birthday. There's her address in your insert also. If you think of sending her a card, pray too for Donna Chelman, who is here today. So we're very glad that she's feeling better. She had a couple days in the hospital this week, but we are thanking God for a recovery for her, but keep praying for health and healing for her as well. I think that's all the announcements that I have. Are there any others that I missed that need to be made? And if not, then let's open our service this morning with these verses from Psalm 84. How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. How blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee. Welcome today to God's house. Let's stand together in joy and begin our worship with the opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Be seated. Daniel 4:37 reads, "Praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven." Our first song will be number 140, "Praise to the Father, the Glorious King." First Timothy 1:15 says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Let's sing "Jesus Saves," number 520 in your hymn.
We have heard the joyful song.
Psalm 51:10 reads, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast within me." That song will be, "O Great God."
Confessing our sins and acknowledging our state before our Heavenly Father. The confession is found in the bulletin. Almighty God, our maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those that believe on his name, he gives the power to become the sons of God and has bestowed upon them his promised Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. At this time, I'll call on Kurt Tweet for this morning's scripture reading.
The first reading for today is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Please stand for reading God's word. Reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For, as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body."
And now would you join in confessing with the church of all times and all places, and we will use the words of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. At this time, I'll call on the ushers to come forward to take this morning's offering.
As we go.
Lord, we thank you for these gifts. We know that you own the cattle on a thousand hills. And so we pray, Lord, that you would bless these gifts and multiply them for the work of your service. In Christ's name we pray, amen. At this time, I'd like to call the children forward. Micah has a children's sermon for you. So children, come and enjoy the word.
All right. Glad you guys are here. Come on up, find a seat. Thanks for coming to church today. Are you excited to be here? Yeah, okay. This is a great place to be. It's a place where we come and learn about Jesus and learn about following him. Now, I want to show you guys, I need some volunteers because I want to show you guys something and we're going to have a little bit of fun. I need some volunteers. I need, let's see here. Okay, Veronica. And I need someone else. Let's see here. Maybe Thor. Okay, why don't you come on up? Okay, so after church, you know, sometimes like when you guys come through the line, I go like this, right? And what do? High fives, right? Now, so that's nice and easy. Do you guys know each other? Are you friends? Not really? Okay, well, Veronica, this is Thor, and Thor, this is Veronica, okay? And because we're here and because we're at church, we're Christians, we like each other, we're friends, we call each other brothers and sisters in the Lord. Maybe not real brothers and sisters. You both have biological brothers and sisters, but we like each other generally, okay? And so we like to help each other sometimes. And so if I did a high five, okay, you do high fives. Okay, now if I go like up here, can you do that one? Okay, can you do that one? Now what if I go way up here? Oh, you can't quite. How about you, Thor? Can you do that one? Ooh, there you go. Okay, that was easy for you, huh? All right. And so now all of a sudden, Veronica isn't able to quite do it, is she? Okay? Sometimes it happens. You know, I was with my nephews. You guys can go sit down. I was with my nephews yesterday. They were at my house, and one is taller than another one, and they both liked to sit on the couches. And so they would go and sit on couches, but the one who's shorter and younger wasn't able to get on the couches. Okay, and it was kind of sad because then he felt left out, all right, because his big brother got to sit on the couch with me and with their mother, but the little one didn't get to sit on there. And so what do you think we did? We lifted him up, yeah, we helped him. And why did we do that? So he could get up, and why would we want him to get up? Because we're brothers and sisters, because we like each other, because we love each other, right? Okay? When we love other people, we help each other. Does that make sense? Okay? Now, in the Bible, in the verses I'm going to talk about here in just a few minutes, Jesus was going around and he was saying to these people, come and follow me. Okay? Who were those people? Do you know? Who did he say, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men? Yeah, to the disciples. Jesus was saying it to the disciples, right? And then they followed him. And Jesus says the same to you and me, too. He says, come follow me. But do you think that we can do everything Jesus does? No, Jesus was pretty special, wasn't he? And because he was God, and we can't be Jesus, we can't be God, okay? But we still follow him, and sometimes we mess up when we're following him. And what do you think happens? How can we fix that? We confess our sins. Yep. We say, I'm sorry, God, I can't follow Jesus like I want to. I want to follow Jesus. I'm just not big and strong enough because we're not Jesus, right? Okay? And what do you think happens then? What does Jesus say? If we say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I mess up, I sin, I can't follow you, then what? Then he forgives you, right? And isn't that great? Did you guys know that Jesus forgives you? Isn't that wonderful? And then, do you know what else he says? He says, you know what else? I'm going to help you. He says, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to help you, okay? And to teach you and to grow you. And so then when we aren't big enough, when we aren't strong enough, when all that kind of stuff, then Jesus comes and he says, you know what? I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. I'm going to help you so that we can follow him. And so we do follow him because of his help, because he leads us along and he helps us when we fail. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. That's a wonderful thing. What does that make us think about Jesus? What do we think about Jesus? He's amazing. That's one way to say it, isn't it? Yeah, he's amazing. We love him because not only does he save us, but he leads us and he helps us when we fail. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, and so that's why we are so excited to be here, because this is where we meet him and this is where we hear from his word and this is where he brings good news that helps us along and he takes care of us. And so we thank him for that. We love him for that. That's why we love each other. All right, you guys can go and sit down. Thanks for coming up.
At this point, I'd like to call on Megan. She was gone for a week and had to come back to visit already, and she brought with her a remnant of the 2017 ambassador team, so we call on them now for special music.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling.
Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As you wait for the crown, tell the world of the treasure you found.
Are you hurting? Come to the altar and find forgiveness for sins, healing, and go and tell everyone what you have found, the treasure that you have found. That's what we are talking about today, that precious and beautiful gospel invitation to come and to see. Come and see what we have found. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, to John chapter 1. The words will be on the screen also. I'm going to read for you verses 43 to 51 from John 1. Please stand with me also, if you would, out of respect for God's word. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida in the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Here ends our reading. These are your words. O God, our Father in heaven, thank you for them. Thank you for the power of your word. And I pray now that you would set these words apart in our hearts as truth, because your words are truth. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts gathered here this morning would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Help us to see Jesus today. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Mr. Tweet read our epistle lesson earlier from 1 Corinthians 6, where sexual immorality is expressly condemned as sin. And Paul exhorts the Corinthian church there to flee from it. That is a topic that has been weighing heavily on me, frankly, in recent months. You have seen and heard these things too. One Hollywood scandal after another being exposed, political leaders being accused of relationships that are at best inappropriate. The same for pastors. Some prominent or famous, others who aren't, but personally are friends of mine, and not just celebrities and other leaders. Is there anyone here who doesn't have a loved one or friend living in some form of sexual immorality, who is unwilling to call it sin, who doesn't have, who doesn't repent of it. Do we know those people? Are you one of those people? It's everywhere, and it grieves me, not in a judgmental way, because none of us are innocent of sin. But it makes me sad because I see the hurt and brokenness that sin causes. And particularly when it comes to sexual sins, and I see people who are unwilling to repent and, as Paul says, to flee from immorality. Instead, people embrace it and refuse to call it sin. And friends, it destroys. We talked about this at our district pastors meeting last week and how even though we don't believe, there are sins that are worse than others, okay? Sin is sin in God's eyes. And it's all worthy of His judgment. But there are sins that carry tougher consequences in this world. And the example that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians is intimacy with a prostitute, breaking the one flesh reality that is beautifully designed exclusively for marriage. This is serious stuff. And one thing that's been on my heart in these months is that we have to learn to be able to talk about it in the church and amongst Christians. The problem is everywhere, and we have the truth about this problem. And if we can't figure out how to talk about it, we're in trouble. A few weeks ago, our confirmation lesson was on the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Oftentimes, the conversation gets a little bit awkward, especially, and I'm going to pick on some of our younger congregants here, forgive me, but especially when they're not used to talking to their pastor about these things. But I told them, and I'll say it to you today also, our young people are going to learn about this stuff. They have to deal with it too. So should we ignore that and let them learn it from their teammates or classmates or neighbors or the internet? Or should we show them that God has something to say about this too? We live in a dark world filled with sin. We are surrounded by it every day. We personally deal with it every day. Maybe the sixth commandment isn't an area where you really struggle. Maybe it is. But maybe there are other ways that you fall short. Maybe it's in your very nature. That's what we believe because that's what the Bible teaches. So where do we go for help? How do we help others? Those we love, yes. But all those around us who are so desperately blinded by their unbelief and sin. The next day, verse 43, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." This is very early in Jesus' ministry, but the tone is already being set that he is someone very different and very special. Typically, people who wished to be discipled chose who they wanted to follow. They figured out which rabbi they liked, which one taught what they wanted to learn, and then they would decide to follow that rabbi. Here, it says that Jesus decided to go, that he found Philip, and he called Philip to follow him. He called Philip, and Philip responded to Christ's call and followed him, became his disciple. Following Christ, becoming a disciple, a Christian, isn't like a menu item on a drive-thru where you make a quick choice about what suits you best, hustle through the line, eat your meal on the go. That's not what becoming a disciple, that's not what Christianity is. Becoming a disciple is what happens when you respond in faith to the powerful call, the Word of God, His invitation. It's a call that radically changes your life. It's the Word of God that has the power to kill and to make alive. to show you your sin and the awfulness of it, the destructive nature of it, like we mentioned, the eternal consequence of it. I think of a verse like Hebrews 4:12, okay? The word of God is living and active, it says, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now that verse is a verse that so often gets used to explain the power of God's word, but almost in a motivational sense. God's word is wonderful and unique and powerful. It's living and active, which is true. But listen to what is being said, not only in the verse, but in the one after it. God's word, as living and active, pierces to your innermost being. It discerns what's in your heart that no one else sees. The next verse says, no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God's word cuts in to reveal everything. Friends, that humbles us. It shuts our mouths from making excuses. When everything is open, when everything is laid on the table, there are no excuses, no things to hide behind. Do you see how God's word is powerful? It shows us our sin. It kills. And it shows us our Savior. It makes alive. When the writer of Hebrews says that God's word pierces to our innermost being and that everything is then laid bare and we have no excuses to hide behind, he writes in the next verse, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. It says after that, that Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses, but that he conquered them. And so let's draw near to his throne of grace, because it's there at the feet of Jesus that we find mercy and grace, it says, to help in time of need. It's there. Before the throne of God above, in Jesus Christ, that we find hope and life. God's word, his law, is so condemning, there's nowhere to hide from it. But the Bible says, God's word says also, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He washes us clean so that when we stand before God to give account, because Jesus has gone before us and made the way for us, we actually don't have to fear. We can approach confidently, the writer of Hebrews says, because Jesus has gone before us. We can enter into eternal rest, peace, life. Do you see how God's word is powerful to kill and to make alive? To change? Change is too small a word, really, isn't it? When we're talking about resurrection and new life. These first disciples were encountering in person the word in flesh, and their lives were being turned upside down. They were being radically changed. And friends, the word that was so powerful for them is here too. And it's ours, it's yours, it's mine. And when it changes us, we go and tell others how it's changed us. We tell others who has so radically changed us. Look at verse 45 in our text. Philip finds Nathanael and says, "We found him. The one the word of God talks about, Jesus of Nazareth." And I love Nathanael's response here. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I better clarify. I don't love this statement because it's so nice, okay? It's not. It's derogatory and scornful. I like the statement because it's revealing. Now, there's a couple of ways to hear that. When the question gets studied, oftentimes the focus here, can anything good come out of Nazareth, is put on the lowly nature of the city of Nazareth. It was a small and insignificant city, not even mentioned in the Old Testament, not a place that a king would come from. And there's relevance and meaning in that understanding of the question. Can anything good come out of such a lowly and insignificant place? But there's something more here. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? There's doubt there. There's unbelief in that question. Nathanael grew up in a dark world filled with sin, the same world that you and I grew up in. We say it's worse now, and certainly it is bad now, like we talked about earlier. But you know, they had the same core problem 2,000 years ago. Sin. And so Nathanael hears that this Jesus of Nazareth has come and has fulfilled some of these prophecies, but he's skeptical. He doubts. Really? Good things don't come from Nazareth. And look at what Philip does. I think this is really important. Philip doesn't argue with him. Philip doesn't try to stand up for Nazareth. Well, Nazareth isn't really that bad. What does he do? Changing Nathanael's view of the city wasn't going to fix the root of the problem. It might fix some of his prejudices against the city, but that wasn't ultimately what was going on. What ultimately was happening was doubt, was unbelief, sin. And arguing with him or trying to change his perspective of the city wasn't going to change that. And so what does Philip do? Come and see. Come and see. What a beautiful invitation. You guys, that is what our world needs to hear. It's what they need. It's what we need to see. We need to see Jesus. That's my prayer each week, that when we gather together and open God's Word, that we would see the Word made flesh, that we would see Jesus, the one who calms our fears, assures our doubts, forgives our sins, changes our lives, and our neighbors need to see him, and our loved ones, all of those who struggle with whatever sin in its various forms. We've got to be willing to talk about that. To be honest about sin and its consequences, so that we can point people to the Savior and his solution, namely the cross. Do you doubt? Do you sin? Are you burdened? Come and see Jesus of Nazareth. Look at what happens to Nathanael. Jesus sees him coming and says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Jesus knows him. And Nathanael is thrown off by that. How do you know me? And Jesus replies, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." This speaks to Jesus as truly God, the one who knows and sees everything. And Nathanael, when confronted by Jesus, sees him. Our text implies earlier that Nathanael had training in Old Testament prophecy. He was truly an Israelite. Some suggest that Jesus calling him an Israelite indeed there implies that Nathanael was a son of Abraham by faith also. That faith was there, even if it wasn't realized, and that he was still so skeptical. There's some indication that he may have even been praying under the fig tree that Jesus is alluding to here, but he hadn't seen Jesus yet. He hadn't heard his word. Now, hearing these words from Jesus, Nathanael responds, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." It's a powerful confession of faith, a personal acknowledgement of who Jesus is as God and Savior. Friends, we can't save people, but we can point them to the one who does. We can invite them to come and to see and to know Jesus as we find him in his word. Jesus says to Nathanael in verse 50, "You believe? Good. Just wait." Truly, truly, with emphasis, verse 51, "You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus gives us this picture that takes us back to Jacob's dream in Genesis 28. But here, Jesus has put himself as the ladder. He is the bridge between heaven and earth, God and man. You know, there's that cliche picture in Christianity, of this great chasm, okay, that separates people on one ledge or one piece of land from God, from heaven, on the other. And then in this picture, the cross becomes a bridge, granting access, safe passage to heaven. And like I said, it's cliche, but there is truth to it. Jesus, the cross, is the way to the Father, to heaven. He's the ladder. He's the bridge. That's the message of the Bible. When Nathanael saw Jesus and heard his word, he recognized him as the fulfillment of all that he had learned about the Old Testament. The fact that he was from Nazareth was no longer of any significance to him because he saw Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That's the message, friends, that you and I have for the world. For your family, for your neighborhood, in your homes, in your neighborhoods, in your world filled with doubt, filled with sin and darkness. We have found Jesus. Come and see him. The light of the world that pierces even the darkest corners of the earth. The darkest corners of your heart. That light of the world brings to those dark corners mercy and grace, heaven and life. Because in him there is no darkness at all. In him we have a high priest who pleads for us before God, who lives for us so that we can live, who made an end of all of our sin. These are words we're going to sing here in a minute. This is Jesus. Come and see him. The high priest who pleads for us before God, the one who lives for us so that we can live, the one who made an end to all of our sin because of his death. The one who frees us, the one who satisfies us, the one who pardons us, the one who grants us eternal life. This is Jesus. Come and see. Amen. Let's sing this closing hymn. It is a hymn in stylistically in the sense that we are used to, but it's a newer hymn, and we've sang it here before. Sing with me, the words will be on the screen, "Before the Throne of God Above." Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son, who bowed down low to pour out his mercy and forgiveness on us through his shed blood on the cross. Forgive us, Lord, for doubting. Forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive us for sin. Wash us clean, we pray. Lord, I am so thankful to you for your word and for the saving and healing power that your word brings. That if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, I pray that you would fill us with your love and peace and joy and assurance in the truth of your word, because you are faithful, because you are God. And Lord, I pray that your word would bring new life. Thank you, God, for doing just that. And Lord, I pray for us as a church, as a body of Christ, but even as a congregation here in Fargo, Lord, that our message then would out to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors would be, come and see. Come and see this one who has come, the Son of God, the King of Israel. Father, I pray for each person here. I thank you so much for them. I am grateful that you brought them here today, and I pray that you would bless us as we leave. I pray that you would continue to watch over and protect us. I pray that if there is anyone here who is stubbornly rejecting your call, God, I pray that you would work in their hearts even now to convict them of sin and to bring them to faith, to show them who you are. May they see you for who you are today, as the Savior of the world, as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray for those who couldn't be with us today for whatever reason, and I think too of any of those who are hurting and suffering. Lord, comfort where that is needed. Heal where healing is needed. We're thankful for the healing that you gave Donna this week, and I pray that you would continue to work healing and refreshment in her. I pray, God, for the family of Charlie Moen also, and that you would continue to comfort them as only you can do. Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. I thank you for the new year, and as we look ahead to our congregational meeting next week, I ask already that you would be preparing us for that time, God, that you would lead and guide and direct as we seek to where you would have us go as a congregation and what you would have us to do. Father, I thank you so much again for this time. I pray that you would bless us again now as we leave. Hear us as we pray together the prayer that you taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise and receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.